Happy Wednesday. It's 1 p.m. It's time for Comic Book Storylines. I'm Brian Sorensen, or Bri the Comic Book Guy, whichever you prefer. You can reach out to me on Instagram at Bri the Comic Book Guy, or you can email me, BriTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. This is part 2 of 3 for Armor Wars. Now, we're going to wrap up in this episode and go into Armor Wars 2. So we're going to wrap up the last 3 issues from the original Armor Wars. And then it was about, I'd say, about 2.5 years later, we went from issue 231, where we're going to leave off with Armor Wars 1, and we're going to pick up in 258, where the second Armor Wars starts. Now, the first part of this series, in this episode, is Captain America 341. This is an important issue on multiple levels, and one of them has to do with Armor Wars. There's 2 different stories in this issue, and at this time, we learned that Captain America, Steve Rogers, was not Captain America anymore. He was going by the Captain. He had some problems with the government. The government took away the shield, and he was no longer Captain America. They gave it to John Walker, which that's how it happened in the movies in the beginning of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So this issue, it's a little bit of significance for the life of John Walker to show what ended up happening further down the road from him, because he had a lot of issues after he was Captain America and when he became U.S. agent, but it was really the catalyst of what happened at the end of this issue, and we'll kind of go into that briefly, since it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the storyline Armor Wars, but it is an important issue for in the life of that current Captain America, John Walker. So we're going to start this issue, Captain America 341. Tony is entertaining a lady friend, goes up to his mansion. Somebody is waiting, and they're sitting in a chair. Steve Rogers. Tony turns on the light, girl goes into the room, and he goes, "Who's that? Who's in the darkness?" Turns on the light, it's Steve Rogers with the shield that he gave him, and the lady's just like, "Wow, Tony knows celebrities and superheroes too." So Tony tries to de-escalate the situation. He sends for a car to pick up the lady because he knows what's about to happen. They didn't part on the best of terms in the last part. So Tony has the girl go away and he starts talking to Cap. You know, he's like, "I take it you're here to tell me how disappointed you are but between us what happened at the vault last week." Now, it was a week's time between issue Iron Man 229 and this issue here. So it's been a week. So Steve throws the shield at Tony and goes, "Here, take this." And he's like, why would you do that?" He goes, "I came to tell you how much damage you did by incapacitating the guards at the vault. You caused a power outage that enabled 5 dangerous criminals to escape. 2 are still at large," which we covered in the previous issue of Captain America, where he went and got a few of them. And Steve also tells him, and here's a pretty big part. Steve says that, "I am about to turn you over to the authorities for your various offenses." And Tony's like, "I don't think so." So he throws the shield back at Steve. And, you know, he's a super soldier, so of course he's going to dodge it. So Tony goes into the next room with his briefcase, which has the Iron Man armor in it, the latest edition. So he suits up as Iron Man, and Cap puts on his mask, and he goes, "Okay, so I guess we're going to do this." Iron Man's like, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to fight you, Steve." And then he's like, "Well, come along quietly." He goes, "You can't think I will do this. It means I would be giving up my armor, my identity, my very fight for justice." And Steve is like, "You know, you went outside the law on this one. You can't be doing this." So they have a brief spat, and you can actually see it's a big thing in this issue that you can see. Tony has this advanced armor, even in this book, the 80s. We get to see that even with the armor, Steve can still have an edge on him, and we saw this in the movies. We've seen this various times. We saw this briefly in Avengers Age of Ultron, and we also saw it in the movie Civil War, where Tony needed to rely on everything he could to put Steve down, and he ends up blasting Steve with like this heat ray and everything, gets him to stand down, and Steve's like, "Man, if I hadn't given back that shield, I could have deflected that." So Iron Man tells him right before he leaves, "There's no way you can take me in against my will. This is a fight that's a waste of precious time. I'm leaving now, and I don't intend to return here or anywhere you think of looking for me until I accomplish my mission. When I finish this, I will look you up and we'll have a talk about ethics. And Steve takes off his mask and he goes, where do my priorities lie? Do I forego all my other responsibilities in order to bring to justice one renegade Avenger on a misguided quest? It would be far better to give Tony Stark another chance to restore his tarnished honor and keep his word to me, where he said he's going to take care of him. Now here's the other part of the story, and I'll briefly go into it. At this time, John Walker is about to reveal his sidekick, Lamar, who they have him being a sidekick on, and he's coming up with his own nickname called Battlestar. So they're at the nation's capital for a presentation, and Captain America is about to tell everybody who his new sidekick is, and a helicopter comes. And it's a couple of people that John Walker knows from his days in this group called the Bold Urban Commandos, because he was a former commando squadron leader. And these guys, they're not really happy with John due to stuff that, it gets to that in the Captain America issues. But what they do next will haunt John Walker forever, because Captain America bad guys and John Walker bad guys take full reign on this. They reveal who Captain America is, John F. Walker from Custer's Grove, Georgia, and he starts laying into these guys because now he publicly let the world know who he was and where he was and what his identity is. He does get the drop on him, he does arrest him, and they tell his sidekick Lamar that we're going to find a way to get your name public soon. So that's how that briefly ends. So if you're interested in what happens to John Walker after that, I suggest you pick up the Captain America issues that follow that in the late 80s, early 90s, the John Walker era, and you can see what happens in that. So we get to the next issue, Iron Man 230. We're almost done with Armor Wars 1. We see that somebody is testing their armor against a mock-up of Tony's armor. It's a simulation where Senator Boynton, as we've seen before, is using something called the Firepower Simulator, which they're trying to perfect and see if they can take down the real Iron Man. It's the person that's in the suit, and it's a guy that they have in the armor, and they're trying to make a new kind of like weapon against Iron Man. The guy's name is Jack Taggart, military guy. So there's a bunch of military guys that are wanting to see this work and hoping that this guy can be the next defense against anybody. When we go back to Stark Enterprises, Rhodey is asking Tony how things are going, and he is upset that he did kill the Titanium Man. He regrets that, and he goes, this whole quest to take my technology from what was stolen from me was meant to save lives, but somebody died. And even knowing it was an accident that I was defending myself against Titanium Man, it doesn't make me feel any better. I've succeeded in destroying the armors that were based on my technology for evil purposes, even negated components used by my allies, but at what cost? As Tony Stark, my company is on the brink and my health is eroding. As Iron Man, I've been kicked out of the Avengers, and I've even had to fire myself as the company spokesperson. So we see that at this point, Tony is regretting and sort of wishing he could take some of the things back, and he just needed to justify what he's doing. So, I mean, he was talking to Tony and talking to Rhodey, and he saw that, you know, it does help a little bit. So they go see Mr. Abe Zimmer, who's like their computer hacker guy, and he goes, I've perfected this little device that we can block in your computer to further keep your secrets from being stolen. But I found a back way in, and I see that there's some other armor that's being developed, and it's on the other side of the world. So Tony decides that he needs to take out this firepower armor. So he goes to the demonstration where the military is showing its effectiveness. The firepower armor takes out all these tanks and copters and everything. So they're really impressed with this. Tony suits up in his armor and he goes up to an orbiting satellite where nobody else knows where it is. He goes, this was supposed to be my gift to the world, a global research station dedicated to the betterment of mankind. But the terrorist group AIM messed with it a while back, so he was trying to get it all back and working again. So he uses it to find the last remnants of his technology, and he finds a little blip on the screen. He goes, that means somebody's using my stolen circuitry right now. So he goes back down to Earth, and while he's trying to deal with this Iron Man style, he still has the legality stuff, and he takes his legal team to the military, and they're saying, we don't know what you're talking about. We didn't take this from you, and even if we did, you know, this technology needs to be shared, and Tony has never seen it that way. That was the whole point of the armor. He didn't want to share it with anybody because it was stolen from him, and he didn't want it to get into the wrong hands, or even dealing with it in the right hands. So he ends up suiting up as Iron Man, going down and going after this firepower. He doesn't look like he's having a whole lot of luck at first because they've done some upgrades, and he's fighting back as much as he can. He goes, wow, that is why they call him firepower, because he's just laying into him. He thinks he has the advantage by dumping a half a mountain on top of him, but he comes out of it easily, and he gets him in this big grip, and he's like, oh, I can't break this grip, and he shoots him point blank with the armor, and his armor's already starting to fade. He's got some cracked ribs, he's bleeding internally and everything, so he's trying to take off to get back to Rhodey, who's in a helicopter nearby. Nobody can see him. He gets back and he goes, sorry to put you in danger. And he goes, I need to do something. And you can see that Tony is messed up. He's bleeding. He's hurt. He's like, I really need to take this out. The military has a policy of acceptable losses, but if I stay, we both die. Better help me up, old buddy. So Iron Man comes back and firepower shoots him with like a low-grade nuke. The armor explodes, pieces come down, fall on the ground, and the Iron Man helmet is bloodied and on the ground all broken. Like, oh, what happened here? So this is going to be the last part of Armor Wars 1, Iron Man 231. The cover alone says, who is the new Iron Man? And the news stories in this chapter talk about, it's kind of like a recap of what Iron Man was doing. And you see Tony's watching it. He's got some bandages on his ribs, arm in a sling. And you see what you didn't see at the end of the last issue. Tony got out of the armor, filled it with blood, like pints of blood in his stores in case he needed transfusions or anything, automated the armor, and made people think he exploded and made people think Iron Man died. So we go back to the testing ground in the desert, and the military is still testing the armor, and they're really happy with it, and everything is working according to plan. And we see Tony back at the office, and he's saying, you know what? Dark days are over. We're going to move ahead. We're going to talk about what the next phase of Stark Industries is going to be. And we get to a manufacturing group where we see the firepower armor break in with the senator. And he's like, okay, we're going to do things our way here. And they say a couple days later, there's a subsidiary of Stark Enterprises. It's exploding. Somebody flies out of it. You can't really see who it is. And Tony is saying, you know, I'm not really sure what was in it. Without Iron Man's clout here, I can't really do a whole lot about what's going on. I don't have that much security. What we need is some more firepower. And he's like, huh, interesting. I wonder who it is. So while they're about to load what's left from that warehouse onto a truck, firepower comes down and he looks like he's getting ready to kill Tony. Tony and Rhodey are there, and he goes, you know, this is Edwin Cord. You ruined my life, and destroying Iron Man was merely a prelude to my ruining yours. Your meddling took the Cord conglomerate away from me way back in Iron Man 145. So you see who's behind all of it. Behind the firepower armor is a guy that was wronged by Tony about, what was it, 20, I'd say about 10 years ago in comic book time, but a few years ago in their real time. So Tony escapes from being blown up by firepower. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to kill you now. My revenge is going to be sweet. So Tony goes back to his lab, and the next bunch of pages shows Tony in a lab creating a new Iron Man armor, which ends up looking like one of the classic Iron Man armors from the late 80s and early 90s. Firepower is about to attack Stark Enterprises, and he gets down on the ground getting ready to blow it up, and somebody shoots him, knocks him down on the ground, and he says, I am the new Iron Man. It's a full page thing. It's really cool to see that. And Firepower starts locking on to Tony, but he doesn't know it's Tony. But Iron Man has upgraded all of his armor, so Firepower is having really no effect, and he ends up defeating Firepower, but there is a bomb. Firepower has this small nuclear missile in his back that he was going to attack with Stark Enterprises, and he goes, the nuke is on a timer, I can't stop it. So Iron Man tries to negate the bomb, and he does. He undoes the bomb with 9 seconds to spare, but there's still a nuclear missile there, so he has to disarm it. He disarms it, opens up the armor, and he says, you know what? You're done as firepower. And Tony, a couple days later, is at his mansion, and he's kind of thinking about how things go, and he's like, well, there's going to be a lot of questions about this new Iron Man. I'll have to answer them all, but for right now, I need to reflect on everything I did, and I'm going to take a nap. So he lays on his bed, and he goes, the first good night's sleep I've had in ages. So that wraps up Armor Wars 1, Tony's vengeance to go after everybody. I mean, it took a lot out of him. Now, Armor Wars 2 happened a little bit different. I mean, it was called Armor Wars 2, and it is a battle of armors, but it's some different things going on here. Now, it starts out with Iron Man 258, so we're going to cover Iron Man 258, 259, and 260 this week, and then we'll continue with the rest of Armor Wars next week. And it starts out, and it's artwork by John Romita Jr. It's his phase of Iron Man's art. And we see Iron Man is going up against this huge mechanical being. And actually, there's two Iron Man armors. So you're like, what's going on here? And it's being attacked by some mechanical beings. You're like, oh, what's going on here? And we see that it's Rhodey. He goes, okay, uncle, you crippled me. And you see that Tony has made his own little version of the Danger Room or Avengers training facility deep underneath Stark Enterprises, and even mentions this. He goes, the Avengers have their training area, and the X-Men have their Danger Room, so this mock-up of typical New York City blocks was an ideal for testing the new refinements on my armor, and he saw that one of the armors was controlled remotely, so he's testing two different models of the armor at the same time. And this one is a guy named DeWitt. This version, the bad guy, is a guy named DeWitt. And you see that he sees this little layout of Tony on a screen. And he says, the subject has just completed a series of extraordinarily strenuous exercises, violent physical activity coupled with increased brainwave activity. So right off the bat, you're seeing somebody is seeing what's going on with Tony. Like they have some sort of bug in his system this time. It's not a bug in his company or in his computers. This is an actual bug in Tony. Like they place something in Tony. And they're like, it's a pity we can't see what he's seeing through his eyes. And he goes, but we can't. We knew this was going to be a limitation, and we're testing for the final stage of what we were going to do. We're having Anthony Stark as an unsuspecting pawn whenever we flip a switch. So they're getting ready to do something to Tony. And there's an emergency situation. Tony gets on the Iron Man armor as usual and goes to the grounds of a factory. And there's an evacuation going on. And one of the ladies says, there's a huge ghost that came right through the walls in the basement. So Tony's like, a ghost? An industrial spy that I clashed with a while back? The character Ghost. We saw that character in Ant-Man 2. And this was an Iron Man bad guy for a while. So Iron Man goes down into the sub-basement of this factory, and there's a lot of technology going on. And all these laser beams are firing at Tony all at once, trying to crush him underneath it. And they're like, hey, there's no way Iron Man survived that. He must be dead. And he blasts out of that. And he's like, wow, there was a whole building that crashed down on top of me, and Stark Industries people are already on the scene trying to do cleanup. But Iron Man's not done. He finds this, like, hatch underneath the warehouse, and he flies down into, like, this sub-basement, and it's got some type of nuclear device, they call it, in the basement. So Tony shuts his suit up completely, like the eye slits, the mouth slit, and everything. He goes, I need to prevent a meltdown. And it looks like there's a nuclear reactor that's about to go nova, shuts down the reactor, and he goes, okay, we need to get this thing out of here. But then the whole thing collapses on him, like the whole building collapses. So, I mean, it makes you feel claustrophobic just watching these next few pages, because he's got this whole building completely around him. Like, he can just barely move with the armor. And then somebody starts talking to him in the darkness. You have done well, old foe. You have made my return worth all the effort. And he's like, who is that? How good it is to see you again after so long. How good it is that no other foe has usurped my place. And Tony's like, all right, who is that? The accent is Russian. Who is it? He goes, I have a gift for you, my old foe, a very special gift. And then this mist starts forming because he manages to get out of the rubble. He says, you may Say, I am returning a favor, Iron Man. I bring the gift of death, as you brought it to me, since it was you who killed me. And you see it's Titanium Man is standing before Iron Man. So you're like, what the heck is going on here? We thought Titanium Man died back in the first Armor Wars. Let me pick up in Iron Man 259, the first pages. Now this, I'm just going to briefly go into this because the Mandarin is one of Iron Man's bad guys. So we kind of see the Mandarin appear in this as if he's responsible for what's going on. Because he's always watching what's going on with Tony. Always watching. And he's dealing with somebody who was rogue in his army, trying to observe him. If you're a follower of Iron Man, then you'll read up on this after Armor Wars 2 is over. So we go back to the bunker where the nuclear device is, and Titanium Man is standing above Iron Man. He goes, most of the world believes that Iron Man was the one who killed Titanium Man and he was dead. The only way this guy could know I am the same Iron Man is if he really claims to be the real Titanium Man and not a ghost. He goes, do not think to play charades with me. I know the truth behind your deception. Like all secrets easily revealed. And he goes, okay. Tony's just like having this inner monologue of, okay, I'm trapped underground. This ghost is right here. There's a nuclear device about to go off. I need to figure some stuff out here. So he uses his repulsor beams to blast through what is appearing to be a ghost of Titanium Man. It's kind of like a hologram. Almost. So he's got to deal with that later. But there's this nuke that's about to go off. So he uses all of his power with his armor. He pushes it up into the air, crashes it down into the middle of the ocean, buries it under miles of soot, and the bomb explodes. He's caught in the wake, but manages to survive. So he ends up going back to Stark Enterprises, taking off the armor, and going to sleep. And he wakes up. He's not at his home. He's not at Stark Industries. He wakes up in San Francisco, and he calls his secretary, and she goes, what have you been doing? You've been gone for 3 days. He goes, I slept for 3 days? And he goes, Rhodey's looking for you, and he's going to have kittens. You have to find him. So Tony's like, I don't know what happened here. How did I lose 3 days? So this lady comes in with food, and she's like, I thought Tony Stark was a party animal, but I've been with you for the last 72 hours, and you've been mostly sleeping. And he goes, I don't know what has happened. And he tries to get dressed, but he doesn't have all of his clothes on. He has his pants and shirt and everything. She gives him all of his clothes back, and she goes, okay, you have my number. When you want to hang out again, we'll talk. And she walks out of the room, but she's really a plant. And you see that she's talking to that Mr. DeWitt. And she goes, phase 8 completed, returning the base. And goes, this is definitely a success. Tony goes to his mansion, and the property, Stark Industries. Rhodey's like, what have you been doing the last 3 days? We're in a bit of a problem here. Since you blew up that bomb, you have not been anywhere else. He goes, you need to do something about this, and you need to get on the scene right now, because there's still some fallout from that bomb. So Tony goes back to the scene, lands on the ground, and something cuts a hole in the floor right above him and drops him down just right onto the ground. And he's surrounded by this like crystal and lighting and stuff like that. And it's again the ghost, so to speak, of Titanium Man. Nothing quite so precious for you, old foe. It's still a suitable ending who has lived such a glamorous life as you. Now at long last, the moment of my revenge comes. He goes, all right, Titanium Man, I know you feel like you've got a just cause to demand my life in payment as your own, but I didn't mean to kill you. And then the voice goes, yes, I knew it. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. The ghost of Titanium Man disappears and there's light everywhere. And he goes, I knew you were the same Iron Man I battled, the real Iron Man, the original. I knew you couldn't have died by anybody else's hands except for mine. And the last page shows it's the Living Laser, one of Tony's really big bad guys. And he goes, and now, Iron Man, you really die. That's never good when one of the bad guys says that. But does it really happen? I mean, the bad guy doesn't always win. Sometimes it looks like he does. So the next issue and the last issue we're going to talk about this week, Iron Man 260. He's confronted by the Living Laser, and Living Laser has always been able to kind of best Tony for a little bit. So he's got this really big, and I know it's cliche, this really big laser light show, and he bounces a bunch of lasers and light beams all over Iron Man, and Tony has this kind of shield up, and Tony's like, I conceived the plan of haunting you with the form of Titanium Man, the man you killed, to better to confuse you and throw you off guard, because I needed to know if you were the real Iron Man or you were a fake, because I needed to know for sure who it was I was going to kill. Tony manages to block the lasers with this big block of concrete, and he's like, okay, so you're trying to reflect everything back at me. That just makes me even more angry. Tony ends up getting the one up on Living Laser, and he's kind of got him in a chokehold, and he goes, let's see what you can do with some solid light. And Tony, with his refined armor, he has this way to disperse laser beams and everything, and it's this bright light. He's holding down Living Laser, and he's got this huge black light, and it doesn't seem to be working. Tony thinks that is working. Everything's all bright. Then Living Laser turns into this green energy looking. He goes, you're making this too easy, Iron Man. After all these years, I don't want an easy victory. So he starts wailing on Iron Man, and all of a sudden he falls. And he's like, what? I don't know what happened. He goes, your power depends on coherent light, but I sent my repulsors to an antagonistic frequency that I was able to use. And he goes, oh, shut up, Iron Man. And he blasts this little laser beam right through, and he goes right through his armor, and it's kind of like a gunshot with like an adamantium bullet, say if like Wolverine gets hit. It goes right through the armor, so now Iron Man's hurt. He knows that he pierced his flesh and everything, and Living Laser's like, I'm getting ready to finish the job. Iron Man can't let him escape. He tries to crush Living Laser with a diamond-plated, just this big thing of diamond plate, and crushes him underneath everything, and has to try to escape. But all these guys that are looking at him, as we previously saw, they're looking at the readouts, and they're saying, there's this stuff going on with Tony. We don't know what it is. We need to figure out what he's doing to cause all these this stress and all these levels to flicker, and they don't know why. They don't know why that Tony is exerting himself, but they have their suspicions, and we'll get to that in the later part of this part here. And Tony is still fighting Living Laser, and he just kind of faints and collapses. And we see that Living Laser's like, is this a game? I know I didn't drop you myself. Are you playing possum? Well, I'm about to finish the job. So Living Laser just builds up all this energy and just has this huge eruption. A little bit later on, we see Iron Man's in this big, like, test tube thing, and there's doctors and everything looking over him, and the doctor at the end goes, somebody better contact Mr. Stark. Iron Man, for all intents and purposes, is dead. He can't be dead, can he? He's Iron Man, for crying out loud. And how are they going to find Tony Stark? Because he's in the armor. But at this point, they don't know he's in the armor. So that's where we're going to leave off with Armor Wars 2 this week. Next week, we'll pick up and finish off Armor Wars, and we'll get a little bit into what we'll discuss after Armor Wars. I've got a few things in the works. As I always try and do, is I'm out in the wild and at comic shops and places looking for storylines to finish collecting, so that way I can talk to them with you. I can bring them to you, things that you've never heard of before, some things that you've heard a little bit about and we want to know more of. Kind of like with Armor Wars, I'm kind of giving a little backstory to what's going to happen in the movie. Hopefully they'll cover a little bit of this, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but we don't know yet. So we'll leave it off here until next week, where we'll pick up with the conclusion of Armor Wars 2. Until then, thanks for listening.